Now, last week I pointed out that if you love health, you need to hate disease. If you love peace, you need to hate strife and contention. If you love marriage, you need to hate infidelity. If you love children, you need to hate what destroys children. If you love truth, you must hate lies and deception. If you love work, you must hate laziness and handouts. Because these items and many more, but just these that I've named, they're not compatible with each other. And we're only fooling ourselves if we think that we can love peace but produce living that causes strife and contention. I'd like a little bit of peace in my home. Well, then eliminate what causes strife and contention. Well, I don't understand why my children are the way they are. What creates that you don't care for in the children? Then eliminate it. It's good to promote love. We absolutely, unequivocally, for certain, and without question, must love and need to be loved. The church should increase in love. And we absolutely, unequivocally, and for certain, without question, must hate what God hates. You say, well, you know, I know that's, you know, that I shouldn't think that way, or I know I shouldn't feel that way. Is it something that God doesn't like? Is it something that God doesn't want? If that's the case, then quit making excuses for liking what God hates. Our time that we're living in are characterized by a sick, I'm talking about within churches, I'm talking about within circles of Christians. Our times are characterized by a sick tolerance of sin. Sin is not to be tolerated, but to be hated. An oh well attitude will not work. Now, an article that I read, and I've only picked out two pages of it, but it was written about the origins of conflict. It's one of those kind of articles, you know, that you have to really think when you read. And they can tax me, okay? Because thinking is not my best feature. But just a short look at the newspaper, watching TV news, or listening maybe when you're driving in the car to news, it soon lets us know that we're living in an evil world. Child abuse, murder, rape, terrorism, divorce, all reveal to us that life is not what it ought to be. And people seem to be aware of it, though they go on living as if it didn't exist. Well, how did things get so messed up? Is this just the way it happens to be? Or is there something more to it? Now, when I make that last statement I did, you know who I'm hearing? I'm hearing... oh man, what a time to draw a blank. He's now, he was a congressman, and he now has a one-hour talk show. He was, before he was a congressman, he was a prosecuting attorney in South Carolina, Craig Gowdy. There it came back. Thank you, Lord. Trey Gowdy. Anybody know that name, Trey Gowdy? Okay, several of you do. When I say this, I can hear him saying this type of thing. How did things get so messed up? Is this just the way it happens to be, or is there something more to it? That's the type of question he would ask on his program. It's on a Sunday night. He doesn't have an axe to grind, but he definitely raises the kind of questions that look for substantial answers. Well, there's three answers, and not from Trey Gowdy, okay? There's three answers when we look at the existence of evil. And where did it come from? You say three answers? Well, now I must make a clarification. Apart from the scriptures, what do people think? What does mankind proclaim as far as the reason for or the source of evil? Now, starting in next week's message, we're going to look at what the scripture says. I'll even have some scripture to read tonight. But what does the world say, to use Christian terminology? Okay, what do people outside of the church, outside of Christianity, what do they say? Well, the first answer to why evil exists is to deny evil. Yeah, they just deny it. Well, that's convenient, isn't it, huh? You know, there's a flat tire on my car. Oh, it's not really there. Well, how long will that work? About as long as denying evil is working. And this kind of thinking is reflected in Greek philosophy. I'm just letting you have a reaction to that. Yeah, Pastor, that's indeed, that's what I think about all day, Greek philosophy. Now, I know you don't, but I'm just telling you where this idea of denying evil, and you'll meet people, average, everyday people. How do they deny it? By making excuses for it. Pretending it doesn't exist or it isn't as bad as what you make it out to be. Well, Greek philosophy is called Platonism. Plato, remember that name? Okay, well, the way he thought, he got a title to his thinking, and that's called Platonism. Some Eastern religions deny evil, and most mind science religions. Now again, I'm just giving you time to think, what's a mind science religion? And I understand that. You may pick it up. Everybody heard it fall, Chelsea. This is not my normal kind of conversation, okay? But mind science religions, the most familiar one would be Christian Science.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and they just deny evil. They claim it's just all a matter of what you think. It doesn't really exist. According to this view, what we encounter in everyday life is simply an illusion. It's not for real. Intelligent people can believe that is beyond me. You know, when I got the flu, my stomach really hurts. I'm not imagining it. All right, but mind science says it's not real. Well, that's the first answer to evil, is to deny it. The second way of resolving the problem of evil outside of the Bible is to deny morality. And this view denies the sense of moral ought, O-U-G-H-T, moral ought. When there's moral ought, there's just some things that ought to be and ought not to be. It's the simplest way to talk about how they use that. The idea is that evil is a natural part of the reality. If you accept the conclusions of the evolutionary theory, then there is no basis for morality. What's moral? What's immoral? It's all a matter of your thoughts and your opinions. The evolutionary theory has eliminated the superiority of man and his mind. They have no basis. They have no foundation on which to say something is right or something is wrong. But then the third way that people have sought to resolve the problem of evil is to simply resign themselves to it and accept the tension that exists between good and bad. And they see it as part of the absurdity of life, this author says. And this is an answer to modern existentialism, which says that there is basically, life is absurd. There's no rational explanation. So just enjoy your life. It is what it is, you know? Why are you get all bent out of shape over things you call bad? Well, what I'm about to say next caused me to go to YouTube, okay? Because he says here, Frank Sinatra's popular song, That's Life, embodies this approach. He sings in that song, and I went to YouTube and heard it, and he's right, he does sing it, okay? And you could hear old Blue Eyes singing it, but that's life. You're riding high in April, shot down in May, but get back up, and you'll be on top of it again in June. That's life, okay? That's the third way that people determine they're going to handle this matter of evil. And then the most popular song from the 50s, mid-50s. Now, some of you are going to have to go back in history for it. But there's other of you that have been in history. And so when I talk about Doris Day and a song that she sang, what song did Doris Day sing that I might be thinking of? Que sera, indeed. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. Now, go to YouTube. She sounds a whole lot better. Okay? Yeah, prettier too. For certain. But, you see, those songs of that era perpetuated the idea when it comes to the matter of evil. It just is. Just live with it. Why do you have to get so bent out of shape over it? Well, obviously, as Christians, as people who know the book, even if we're not overly schooled in what the Bible says on some subjects, we certainly know that the Bible teaches us about evil and of righteousness. We know it's one of the basics of Scripture, that God created all of the angelic beings. And there was one being whose name is Lucifer, who now that name Lucifer infers evil. But back when he first was on the scene, that was not the case. And he did rise up. You can read it in Isaiah chapter 14. He did rise up against God. And he said over and over, I want to be like God. I want to take the place of God. And therein started the war in heaven between Lucifer and the fallen angels And they were fallen because they followed Lucifer. They didn't keep on following God. And of course, the good angels followed God. And therefore, we have this constant conflict back and forth. Now, we'll learn more about evil and good as the Bible presents it when we get further into this message. But too many people compromise God's holy love with an unholy, sinful living. Too many think they can go through life with love, love, love. They avoid as many negatives as they can. And they feel this is the way to handle it. I'll just focus on the positive. I'll focus on the good. I won't let myself think of things that are not good. And so they avoid the negatives. But listen to me. The negative hating of sin is positively good. Hate is a valid emotion when it is rightly placed. Place hate in the wrong place and it's destructive. But place hate in its proper place, to hate sin, to hate evil, to hate wrong, well, that's of benefit because it keeps us separated from it. It keeps us from participating in it because, believe me, there are some emotions that will be fed within us. Emotions that come out of our old nature, which, remember, is a sin nature. Thanks be to God, when we're saved, He gives us a new nature. But until we're saved, we live by that old nature. And it feeds on those negatives. Why is it that even some Christians seem to feed on problems? Why is it that even some Christians seem to feed on the negatives? It's because they're feeding their old nature. They're not living by that new nature that God gave, which is able to feed on good and righteousness. And so what we find, look at Psalm 119. Okay, Psalm 119 and verse 104. Give you a chance to find it. Psalm 119, 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. As we read the Word of God, as we have the instructions from the Word of God, we get understanding about these deeper questions of life. And there are, you know, I listen to some TV programs, and my lands, some of these people, when they talk about things like this, they get lost in the woods. What's the old saying? They can't see the woods for the trees. Or the trees for the woods. I forget which way that is. But they can't figure it out. Just back up, buddy. And look at the basics. But you see, for them to acknowledge the basic, that God is love, and God will do good for His creation, that causes them to admit that they are wrong, and that the viewpoints that their crowd thinks are right, that they're not. And rather than admit that, they deny even the very existence of God. Through thy precepts, I get understanding. And as a result of the understanding that comes through the Word of God, the psalmist says, therefore, as a result of the understanding, I hate every false way. Mrs. Hain hates alcohol. Now, she never drank. She had some uncles that did. But to my memory, there was never anybody within her family that would be described as a drunkard. There were no circumstances that would cause her to hate alcohol as much as she does. But you see, she's discovered that through God's precepts, she got understanding. And as a result, she hates every false way.
Amen.
Okay?
I like it.
So you don't have to experience things to know it's wrong.
Amen.
You don't have to experience things to know that it's harmful. Well, how am I going to know? Just because somebody else said it? Well, you might not want to take the word of some other two-legged being, but how about you take God's word? Through thy precepts, through God's instructions, you can get understanding. And it's going to cause you to hate every false way. I'm turning to Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe unto them. Now, when God pronounces a woe, that's like a flashing light, okay? Sit up, take note. Pay extra attention to this. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Now that's what we're living in. We're living in that day. It's not exclusive to our day, but it is enhanced in our day compared to previous generations. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. You see, they deny morality. They deny that there's a right and a wrong. That's one of the three things I told you is the way that man handles the matter of evil. They just deny it. They call evil good, and they call good evil. That put darkness for light and light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. See those contrasts that God shows us? And people turn them around backwards. Verse 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own eyes. They think they know more than God. They think that it doesn't matter what the Bible says. That's just an old-fashioned book. You know, when it comes to old-fashioned books, nobody talks that way about Shakespeare's writings. Platonism that I referred to earlier, Plato, why they sit on the edge of their chairs. Not you and me, but people that are into studying Plato. They sit on the edge of their chairs to hear the next thing that Plato said. Oh, this is marvelous. The Bible has more authority established behind it by virtue of history than what does Shakespeare and Plato or any of the others. My friends, this is not just something that we've plugged into because we happen to go to this kind of church. This isn't just something that we've plugged into because you happen to have been in this kind of family or you met somebody who was part of this kind of thing and therefore you became part of it. No, my friend, this whole matter of God and His Word is bigger than you and me. Or is that you and I? It's bigger than this guy and you all. Okay? That's how you saw that one. Oh, yes. through thy precepts I get understanding. 1 John, I'm going to close with this. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. All right. Is it evil or is it okay? Is it bad or is it just something that happens? No. No. You commit sin when you break the law of God. Whosoever committeth sin, who is that? It's the person who transgresses the law of God. For sin is the transgression of the law. The law that God gives us, breaking it, is what is sin. The evil, wicked actions that a person commits are considered sin because God's word says so. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to look at your word. I pray that you'll lead us and guide us as I go through these messages, having to do